Hi, thank you for being here. I'm Marty Parker, and we're going to be talking about linked business cases, what's hot, what's not. I jumped in and nominated one on ROI, and Alan Karskaden of Microsoft said, would you do it on what's hot, what's not, too? So we're going to do that. Yes. Let me explain who I am. I'm an independent consultant. My partner and I are in Unicom Consulting. We consult the large enterprises about their unified communication roadmap. And of course, you got to build ROI into a roadmap. You got to say, why do it? I'll say two words about, just two sentences about my background. I started in business as a sales trainee and then a marketing representative for IBM. And they taught about selling applications. They put you through a year's worth of training, including an app school you had to pass to be a salesman. And it was mostly about financial business cases. My degree is in business from the University of California, Berkeley, and I later at IBM became a controller. And so I was approving large capital expenses for a major plant. So I think this way, kind of. So that's why I'm so excited about this idea, is there's so much money to be made in this space. And I hope to give you tools and help you to go out and find that money in your businesses, or those of you that are partners, help you represent it to your customers. Okay, so the goal for this session is that I'd like to support your need to justify UC and link in your business. So you've got it there, or you want it, or you're thinking about it, or you're comparing it. How would you do that? Second is learn about a new and better strategy for justifying UC. We'll say what that is in a moment. And then forecast the evolution of UC business cases. What's coming up, if you want to use Gurdeep's theme, in the world of universal communications, what's going to be the major business case? So we're going to talk about the changing business case, the three sources of ROI, the math of ROI, this new perspective called invest on return, IOR. You still use ROI math. The math doesn't change, but how you think about it does. Future-oriented justifications, and then a quick, easy ROI template, because I advertised that in the session description. I said I'd give you an ROI template at the end. So let's talk about the changing business cases. So the game is changing. VoIP justifications are pretty well mined out or marginal. I heard this yesterday in a session with some major customers. They said, you know, I have TDM trunks, and under the pressure of SIP trunks, they just keep reducing the rates. I don't save any money with SIP trunks anymore, so why go to the trouble? You know, there's no money in changing the phones. Changing phones is a fool's errand, because the old phones are going to work for another 10 years anyway, so okay, that's not the reason. Conferencing used to be the hot justification, but everybody that's staying home and staying off of airplanes because of conferencing is already doing that. The only justification, the only sweet spot yet in conferencing is to move it to the cloud. And we're doing a session on the Link TCO, total cost of ownership analysis, this afternoon. And that's what you see, is putting Link in the cloud is really a sweet spot for conferencing. But you know, generally, they're mined out. They've been done. It's the last decade. The CXOs, CIOs, CEOs have new concerns. I'll come back to that in a minute. Apps are the new modality. And by apps, you can get confused between the word applications for UC and apps. And I'm kind of meaning apps the way we're thinking about them. I mean, Gurdeep talked about, you know, being in our personal lives. But, you know, the personal life is all about, you know, apps on a piece of glass. So what's that personal life going to look like in a business context? You know, how many of you know are in your own businesses or in your clients are seeing the business workflows reduced to apps? Any of you? Well, there's a lot of money in there, because you'll take a lot out of the workflow, you'll make a lot of money, and the people will know how to use them immediately. It's an app. So this is a new modality. Devices are the new desktop. I mean, guess what we just saw? Disruption is the new normal. I'll show you that in one of the concerns. But if your business is not thinking about who can come along and take your business away from you with some new disruptive model from any country on the world, then you're not thinking broadly enough, because that's the game. And then traditional ROI is passé. You're going to need to think about investing on return. Now, as to the business case of the future, what this leads me to see, and I see it with my clients too, it's pinpoint targeting. Show me a specific return for a specific user population that's going to change some specific activity, pinpoint accuracy. And you know, in the past, the vendors, even including Microsoft, have said, well, let us come in and change all your enterprise to VoIP. Let us change all your enterprise to UC. And that was not pinpoint. That was whitewash, you know, broad brush. And so it was hard to justify. But when you get pinpoint, it's not hard to justify at all. And you might say, well, then I'm going to end up with a bunch of little implementations of Link. No, you may start, if you've got a 5,000 employee company, you may start with 500 people on a specific pinpoint app, but then it'll grow because the next department will want one, and then the next, and then the next. It's a very smart way to go. I've got some very particular use cases of that. I won't diverge here, but it works. Extreme speed. They want to know that it goes in quickly, that it's going to be limited risk. It'll have unbounded upside. So if you can do something in one part of a business or a government or an educational institution, whatever, you do it in one place to prove it, then they say, oh, and if it's something that's extensible to other parts, then you've got unbounded upside. So you prove it here quickly with low risk, with low budget, high return, and then I can extend it. And then finally, it's flexible. Maybe while I'm doing it, but if you move quickly, it doesn't matter, because flexibility is more of a long-term view. But can I adjust it and meld it and mold it to the shape of my business as it grows and as it evolves? So this is what it seems to me is the business case of the future. This is because of these concerns. The CXOs, and this is there's surveys out there every year. People put out surveys of what are the top concerns for 2014 or 13 or 12 or whatever. So concerns that people are saying are on their minds for 2014 from a survey of CEOs is, I want to leverage the core knowledge and competency of my business. What they're realizing is that the asset of their business is the knowledge that they've instilled in their people or that they've hired with their people. So they want to leverage that. They want increased responsiveness to change. They know the world's changing. They know they're going to be pressured in different ways. I want to be able to respond. I want flexibility in my workforce. I want to be able to move work around. We heard that from the law firm today, this morning. I want to move work around to where I can get it done quickly and get back to the client and bill them, by the way. It's time to billing for them. The faster they can do that, that particular legal matter, contract, whatever it might be. I want the increased ability to innovate, so I want to be able to use talent from anywhere. This is why Social for Business is showing up. That's more of an IBM theme than a Microsoft theme, but Social for Business is showing up. And you know, we heard about social a bit from Gurdeep today, but certainly IAM and Presence have enabled that in most companies beyond email. Unexpected competitors, that's one of their concerns, is I don't know where I'm going to get blindsided, you know, because people are inventing things, you know, as fast as they can. I need to be able to respond, that's earlier on the list. And then economic and regulatory factors. I've got to do all of this in the context of the laws. And, you know, as much as, say, in the United States, we think about, oh, we're overregulated and so forth. I mean, go to India and try to do telecommunications. I mean, there's government regulations there, too. You know, every country has them. So it's not like you can be in one part of the world and not care. So these are the things they care about. I mean, there's no telecommunications on this list. And even the Gartner top 10 list of CIO concerns this year doesn't have any communications on it. It's about big data, it's about infrastructure, it's about cloud, it's about, you know, change. And it's about the predictability that Gurdeep talked about. So UC&C, Unified Communications and Collaboration, is the kind of industry buzz term. I guess we'll have to call it now Universal Collaboration, Communication Collaboration, can focus on employee effectiveness. That's one of the items on that list. So I can keep my employees effective, and I call that UCU, my friends at UC Strategies, that's one of the industry forums that I belong to. You know, we call it UC for user productivity. So this is the stuff you put out on the user's desks and they get creative, they figure out how to use it. UCB, I'll come to that in a minute. Employee effectiveness, they're mobile, they're connected, they're informed, they're available. The younger groups coming in are gonna grab onto this and use it the way they've been using the social networks and so forth. You know, the Facebook of the business is what people are talking about with IBM Connections and Yammer and those kinds of products, Jive. And usage profiles is important there, is that you can look at how those employees are organized to do their work. Unicom Consulting, our firm, when we work with a client, we usually ask them for permission to go out and interview their lines of business and find the patterns. And we've been able to find in a 90,000 employee retail bank, for example, we'd reduce that entire business to 8 profiles, one of which was the back office, you know, training and that kind of stuff. So it's really 7 plus the back office, a whole Children's Hospital was 8 profiles, including 1 profile for fundraising. So you get it down to those profiles, and you can say, oh, that profile is a place where I can really get the first hit. They really need help. I can really solve their problems. And so I'll be able to do that, and then I can sequentially move through the business with these improvements, which leads to the second part, UCB, process improvements and innovations. Now I'm into the specific workflows in my business. What am I trying to do? What am I building, delivering, and so forth? And we have a separate session on that on Thursday morning on applications for UC. But you can go in and use things like Six Sigma methods, Lean Six Sigma, if you've used that in manufacturing or heard of that idea, where I'll come back to that, where you can go look for the things that are causing problems in your workflows. You can look for the high volume activities and transactions. Contact centers, call centers in the communications industry were exactly about that. Look at all these calls we're getting from customers. Let's take 10 seconds off of every one of those calls. Let's take a minute off of every one of those calls while we increase customer satisfaction. Call centers are only there because they can make a business case for them. They're all business case driven, okay? So that's still hot, by the way, but we're gonna take it into new territories. And then high value collaborations and exceptions. So the high value collaborations are when I'm inventing a new product or I'm designing new products and that sort of thing. The exceptions are one of our clients is a major railroad, and one of their major UC use cases is what happens in a derailment. Okay, if I get a derailment, then I've got to put that train back on the track. But besides that, I've got to talk to dozens of fire, safety, police departments, communities. I just have to look at the whole zone that might be impacted. If I've got chemicals on that train or whatever, all sorts of things kick in that are all about communications. And so that's an exception, you might say. They don't plan on that, but they've got to have a process to respond to it. So they can make a lot of money by having that go faster. This kind of recaps those points that you can look at these things in terms of collaboration-oriented or transaction-oriented. There's a lot of buzz in this industry, mostly driven by people that sell video, about collaboration. But if you look inside those usage profiles that I mentioned, you'll find a lot of them are transaction-oriented. How do I just do something a million times a month more efficiently? They're not all about stopping and, oh, let's whiteboard this out. People that are shipping tablets, you don't think they're whiteboarding every tablet, right? They're shipping tablets. How do I get them in the box faster? That's their concern. How do I get them to the right customer? So transaction-oriented versus collaboration-oriented, and then high volume or high value versus complex or exception-based. So kind of some parameters to look at when you look at your business and workflow. Now, besides those kinds of ideas, you can also say that UC&C can deliver lower-cost communications. By the way, I've written white papers about this, that I think SIP trunks are an interim solution. And Link works very well on Ethernet backbone. If you go compare Ethernet backbone transport to SIP trunking transport, you'll knock about 90% of the cost out. So think about what if you ran your whole business on MPLS and you had no trunks to the PSTN. You let your MPLS carrier put the trunks into the PSTN whenever a call had to go onto the PSTN because you absolutely couldn't federate with your business partner. So just redesign that. Optimize cloud premise hybrid. I think the world of the next 10 years is all going to be about hybrid. And so you'll find some really sweet business cases by consuming a piece of the stuff in a very attractively priced cloud solution like conferencing, but connecting it up to premise where it's more complex or it needs to talk to back office applications. Increased reach, so presence in IM and UC federation for your clients, partners, supply chain. Why is that repeated? For partner. So one is more the business side and the other is, I intended to be more the consumer. That seems like a typo to me. But anyway, you want to be federating and reaching out into the world. And the Skype idea that we heard about in the main session today is just another example of that. Thinking about Skype as a way to reach your customers instead of a contact center. You all saw the demo today, right, of Bing with voice-enabled Bing. You notice that they bypass the contact center, right? Now, there may be a contact center in the back answering those, for the escalation. But when I do that, it's a different kind of contact center. So you may end up reinventing contact centers. They made a lot of money in the 90s and the early 2000s, but maybe the way you're going to get a lot of money out of contact centers in the future is make them smaller. And then granular platform approach. You want to have fast reconfiguration and deployment. So you want your architecture to be laid out so you can quickly adjust it to the changes in the business, acquisitions, divestitures, new products, new markets. And you want a communication in the optimal place and form. That was one of the key points that we talk about in applications a lot and that Gurdeep touched on this morning. Didn't know he was going to, but it was great, is that one of the hot aspects, one of the hot business cases here is to build communications into the apps and into the portals. So if you think about where people touch information, go put the comm right there so that when they see the information, if they need to communicate about it, the button or the click or the voice to communicate to the right person about that information is on the same page. It's built right into it. Doesn't have to be a Bing click to call Skype number. It may be buried even further. You know, and I'll tell you a case study about that in a minute. So we talked about the changing business case idea. If you got any hot questions right now, that'd be fine, but otherwise we'll have question time at the end. So let's talk about the three sources of ROI. So if you look at return on investment, it's really you have to change the business to get a return on investment. You have to do something different in order to generate a return, and it comes from three broad categories here. And these aren't about technology. It's called go faster, use less, or be different. That's it. Those are the three things you can do in a business to have an ROI. And it boils down to that. And using less, you can use less labor. That's a contact center. Use less materials. That's things like automation. Use fewer assets, like, you know, just-in-time delivery and manufacturing is so I have fewer warehouses and fewer assets and so forth. And then less overhead, less people watching the people work. So it's that kind of, these are the kinds of places that CFOs, CIOs, they go look if they want to optimize the business. And the line of business executives are all thinking this as well. You know, the vice president of X division wakes up in the morning, goes to work to think, how can I do one of those things today? Or the projects I started last week, how are they doing so that I can go faster, use less, or be different? That's how they think. So let's be in their head and do that. By the way, I see a lot of taking notes, which is great. The Link conference is recording this, and the recording and the slides will get posted to the MyLink conference site. So you'll be able to download and hear the voice over. So our focus is communications. And we're here because of the Link conference. I'm a consultant in UC. I'm not a consultant in conveyor belts and trucks. So, I'm worried about tell me about the communications that's in those business processes. Can I do that better, differently, faster, or less? So if I go faster, like I've got an activity, like high-ticket sales. So if I've got a sales process, by the way, this could also be design. I'll show you case studies on these in a moment. But if I've got something that takes, say, 6 months to do, then and I've got a team of people doing it, then I can do two of those a year. But if I can make that go better, be better by taking out delays in communications or helping people be in touch without travel or letting them meet instantly instead of waiting till next Monday, if I can do that sort of thing and I can bring that sales cycle down. We have case studies like this. Just have to make two simple changes to get a shorter sales cycle for high ticket sales as example. Then I can do it maybe three times a year. That's a huge ROI. So basically I go from earning, say, $200 of revenue, if every 200 units of revenue, if every one of those blue things is worth 100, I go from 200 to 300 in revenue. Now I have more costs because I'm producing something, so my costs go up at the same rate, I'm selling things, but my expenses don't go up the same amount because I have the same number of salespeople doing the job. I have to pay more commissions, sure, maybe a little bit more travel and expense, and my profit goes up 150%. That's a business case. I had to put some investment in here. We'll talk about how much investment I put in later. But that's a business case by going faster. Okay? Or I can use less. So if I take a stack here on the left that's a bar chart of 100% of my spending in my company, and I've got $30 in labor, $30 in materials, $10 in depreciation, $20 in overheads, $10 in profit, I could take a little bit out of every row and double my profit. So up above, I'm not taking 100% out of any of those. I'm skimming 17% out of labor and 3% out of the materials, 20 out of depreciation, 10 out of overheads. I got a doubling in profit. That's a business case. Now, maybe I can't get all of those. Maybe the particular thing I'm doing is only going to give me, say, the 17 and the 10. That's 37 gain, 37%. So I won't quite get, I have to do the math here. I can't do it in my head. But the point is I'd probably not get 100%. I'd probably get about 50% gain in profit. But it would still be a significant gain. And by the way, that comes from self-service, Lean Six Sigma, less infrastructure. These are the kind of ways that people think about getting these returns. And here's Lean Six Sigma. This is right off the Lean Six Sigma website. But you eliminate waste in transporting things, or the inventory of things, or the motion of things, or the waiting for things, or the overproduction, making too much, or overprocessing. That is too many messages going back and forth. We've got one client right now that we're active with, and it's just obscene how many email messages. It's a retail bank that sells to high net worth individuals. And what we found is that their wealth managers and relationship managers, the people that work with the high net worth people, are sending dozens of emails a day saying, how's my loan app coming? How's this coming? How's that coming? I mean, it's just huge waste because they're overprocessing that loan app. You know, that loan app, for example, if they're trying to loan, you know, finance the person's Ferrari or their new home or whatever, that's what they do. If they're trying to do that, that should be they should have an IM bot, or they should have a web portal that tells them where that loan is, and none of those emails get written. Huge ROI just by fixing that problem. Okay? And then defects, things go wrong or get done wrong. So communications-enabled business process, that's the first time I've said this term, but you'll see this term commonly in the industry. It's something Gartner invented back in 2003, but it's a name for communications-enabled business processes show these kinds of efficiencies inside communication. So you go into your business process and put comm into them where it's needed. And you, again, we saw some demos of that in the main session today. I didn't plan on that, but they did. Or you could be different. Here's a bunch of companies that are different, but here's Southwest. You know, and look what they did. They basically said, we're not going to be like the other companies, so we're not going to check your bags interline. We're not assigning seats. We're not having any change feeds. We won't serve you food, and there are no travel agents selling our stuff. So the only thing we're going to do the same is we'll sell drinks. Oh, yeah, we'll fly you where you want to be cheaply and on time. You know, it's a bus with wings, you know. So they sell a lot. They've been the only airline company that's been profitable through every recession we've seen in the last 15 years. Because they're different. Now, maybe that's not where your company is trying to be, or if you're a partner where all your clients want to be, but that's another possibility. Is you can say, I'm going to use Link or Link with Skype, and we can use this in such a way that you will be different to your customers. That demo of the healthcare example, I'm self-diagnosing myself on the web portal, and when I get to a certain point, I'll pop into a conversation with the physician. That would be different, right? And the laws are changing, by the way. In California, the law is now such that the doctor can bill for that video interaction. It used to be I had to go to the doctor's place, but now in California, they allow them to bill, and I think Medicare is passing laws like that too. So anyway, it's that these are the three broad ideas. Go faster. Use less, be different. Okay, real easy. Hard to find it sometimes. It's hard to get, you know, inside your business. It's hard to get outside IT and go talk to the line of business users. But if you go ask and keep asking, they'll tell you. Let's talk about some case studies here. So my partner and I, Don Van Dorn and I, did a white paper for Microsoft on this about 2 years ago, and it's still up on the Microsoft site. It's on our website as well. And we said, you know, if you look at communications-enabled business process, you try to say, where are people doing this? Here are the seven places that you find. So you find optimized resource utilization. So I'm going to use communications to optimize how I use resources. I'm going to give you a case studies examples of every one of these in just a minute, so I'm not going to dwell on them. The next one is I can accelerate transaction completion, or I could increase notification precision, or I could improve contact success, or I could automate communications processes, or I could speed information delivery, or I could enhance collaboration effectiveness. So these are the kind of ways to think about what's going on in the business. Could I do it? Notice every case there's a verb, you know, a noun, and an outcome. So it's this kind of a simple model. And when you go inside of that, here's some case studies. So the first is, I'm going to optimize resource utilization. This was Global Crossing is the name of the company, actually. When they were in bankruptcy about 10 years ago, and they were trying to get out, they were trying to figure out what went wrong, they found that their customer sat was in the tank. Their help desk was a failure. And they went and researched it. They found that the help desk was having to spend an average of five telephone calls per trouble ticket to find the right engineer to work with the help desk to solve the problem. Because it was either a problem with what they had done immediately prior, we just changed the network or did something that didn't work, or I need to customize what I'm about to do. I've got a change order and I need it to go a certain way. And so the help desk has to talk to engineering. And what they did is they just integrated IM right into their help desk software. I think it was Remedy, maybe it wasn't. But they put it right in the help desk software so that, and they did a little bit of custom code behind it to say, okay, I'm going to click on that, I need help on this ticket. And if it's a ticket that was already something that's already been done, it's going to say, is the engineer who did that on shift and available? Because I got presence, right? On shift and available, and if so, they open up an IM chat with that engineer. And they start, and they paste in, the software pastes in the trouble ticket text right into the IM chat. No typing, click. And now they dialogue on that chat, and they can usually solve the problem. They're down to where they have a live voice conversation, not five times per trouble ticket, 0.3 times. So 70% of the time, they don't even talk. They just solve the problem. And if they don't, if the person they need isn't on shift and available, there's an algorithm that says, okay, what skill is needed for this ticket? And find that skill on shift now, available. And that's an easy software algorithm. Not by name, not my buddy, not who's on vacation. You know, well, my buddy's not on vacation today. I can't solve that till tomorrow. No, solve it now. And you could argue it doesn't even have to be in the same facility, right? It depends on where they are in the network. If you said, well, it matters, they have to be in this network operations center, this network node, then fine. Put that as another criteria. Where does the person work? Where are they? So they got a 69% return on investment out of that thing. They got it done in less than 6 months, so it was pretty fast. And what they ended up was only 0.3 phone calls. They could do every ticket with 70% less labor. You say, well, that meant they laid off 70% of their people. Actually, they reassigned 30% of them, and the rest was sucked up by growth over an 18-month period. So they were growing the business now that they were back on a recovery track. So some people got reassigned. They didn't have any quote-unquote layoffs, and customers were served 80% faster. So nothing wrong with that picture, right? That's an ROI. Another business case is accelerate transaction completion. So here's a mortgage company. In Fonavit in Mexico, it's a Microsoft case study, but they basically started answering questions and solving, getting approvals and so forth on mortgage applications using IM and presence instead of phone calls and meetings or walking around. For a 4,000 person company, they increased their loan capacity annually by 30,000 loans processed. And the ROI there was close to 200%. Okay? The next one is increased notification precision. So here's a utility company. Their name is Conexus. And they basically, when the power goes out, they have to get a crew of the proper talent of people together to go fix it. And by the way, if you're a utility company and the power is out, the meters aren't running, right? So you're losing revenue. The customers aren't happy either, but you're not billing them because the meter isn't running. So they found that they could assemble that team 2 hours faster for every event by using an automated bot to go out through some rules and through multimedia techniques that are available in Link to go out and ping the people, get the responses, and therefore assemble the team that much faster. So that two-hour difference gave them about a 53% return on investment, besides the customer sat, by the way. These are hard dollars. Improve, and by the way, it's a combination of less labor time, because you know if you don't assemble the team promptly, people are hanging around getting paid while the others arrive. And it's a result of earning more revenue because they can turn the meters back on sooner. Improve contact success. So here's a branch bank environment. They want to increase, this happens to actually be a Cisco business case, but they wanted to increase revenue in the branch bank. Well, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to solve a problem. The problem was people were coming into the bank wanting to do fancy things like reverse mortgages and things that the tellers don't know how to do. And the local supervisor, the platform manager, isn't authorized to do. So they'd say, well, our reverse mortgage specialist comes in on Tuesdays. Would you come back next week? And, you know, the customer would say, sure. And they make an appointment, and then they go to the bank next door, and if there happened to be a reverse mortgage person available, done. They got their problem solved. So what they do is they take them into a side room. There's a couple of video screens. A couple of screens. One's video, one's the application. And they get a person by video through presence. They get a person in a central location who's a reverse mortgage specialist right on the screen with the customer. Oh, you want to do a reverse mortgage? Great. You know, you want to do a refi on your home? Great. You want to do an auto loan? Great. You know, those are all different kinds of experts. I don't have to wait for them to come around. I take you to the expert right now. Kiosks, we know companies in Europe, they use a lot of kiosks in banks for that same reason. Okay? So that's a very high ROI on that one. Automate communication processes. Here's an insurance company. This one happens to be an IBM case study. Celina Insurance is a fabulous case study where they're an insurance company that works through brokers, and the brokers, of course, come in to get approval to sell insurance to me. If I'm trying to apply for insurance, I have to get the insurance company to say, yeah, I'll write that policy. And so they come into that. They used to call up and talk to a contact center and walk through the form. But now the form's online, and every field in that form is tagged to a department behind it with an IM and present search function. And so if I'm working through the form and I come to, say, hazardous materials, and it says, okay, I got a hazmat problem, I need a hazmat underwriter to approve this, because they're going to ask me, what kind of material, chemicals, flammables, you know, what is it? And so I'm going to open up an IM chat. We'll have a little dialogue on that. And when it's approved, great. I move on and continue the form. Now, the brokers like it because they can do the form asynchronously. They can multiplex. They can set the form aside. If they have to get information from their client, they just stop there and go get the information and come back to it. It's not like a call center where they got to say, well, how do I call you back and that kind of thing. If they do need to talk to somebody, if they do need live conversation, you can click there and open up a voice channel. So this is a very positive ROI, you know, and Celina actually in the case study says, I've talked to them personally too, but they cut 30% out of their back office staff. So part of this was labor savings for them, but part of it was broker satisfaction. And they say, you know, they're actually retaining, they have lower turnover amongst their brokers, they're actually attracting new brokers, and they've got a revenue increase on a per broker year over year basis. So they can measure that. The last one, I think it is, speed information delivery. So here's a tunneling equipment company. It's Heron Connect. Again, there's a nice case study up there, Microsoft case study on this one. But they dig tunnels all over the world with these machines that are like as tall as this room, rotary machines, like a drill bit that's as diameter this, the height of this room, boom, through the earth. Well, those things break. And when they break, they're not moving. So they've got to get parts. And so in the past, they had huge cell bills as people would call in to get the parts. And now what they do is they have an IM bot they set up. So you IM the part number, and the bot comes back and says, where's the part, and is it available? And if they want it to be shipped, they click a button, and they IM two more IMs, and it's coming by FedEx. They cut their cell bill in half, which paid for the whole investment right away. But besides that, they get to run the drill machines faster. You know, they finish the project more quickly, and that's probably worth millions. They paid for it out of the cellular bill, by the way. But they cut their international cellular calls in half. And then the last one is enhanced collaboration effectiveness. So here's an oil exploration company. You've heard of it, I think, Schlumberger. You've seen the Microsoft case study, perhaps, where, you know, what they do is they take these big multi-million dollar pieces of equipment and they plop them on the ground, and they start pounding on the ground and sending radar and sound into the ground to find out what's down there. You know, is there oil? Is there natural? You know, is there shale? Is there gas inside that I can fracture? You know, what can I do? And when they find the images, sometimes they need experts to help them. And until they get that work done, they can't move the big piece of equipment to the next field. So they basically plugged. This was all the way back into Office Communication Server Release 1. They plugged that right into their software called Petrel. And they can pull people in through IM right into that collaborative work session where they're looking at the same output that the guys on the project they're looking at, and they actually say they are reducing the time it takes to finish the exploration of a field and move the equipment to the next field by 20 to 25%. So besides lowering the cost of finding it in labor, they also lower the asset cost, right? Or they get more revenue because they can explore more fields. So it's these kinds of things. That's almost a 300% ROI. So these are huge, right? And this is the idea. You look inside the business to find these spots where you've got a communication problem that's preventing you from success. This other one I mentioned, an insurance company, they asked us to come in and talk to them about unified communications. We did, talked to their enterprise architects, didn't know if we'd ever hear from them again. They said, come on back, the guys from claims want to talk to you. And they took us in to talk to the business analysts. And these are, if you have business analysts in your company, or if you're a partner and your clients have business analysts, they're your friends because they know where the hotspots are. So these business analysts said, well, maybe we're interested. We went away and they sent us an email the next day, said, can you tell us what a hotspot looks like? So we gave them a list of 10 things to look for. We thought we'd never hear from them again. Within 2 weeks, they came back. They found 63 hotspots in their claims processes. And by the way, insurance companies make their money in claims processing. The faster they settle them, the less it costs them and the less they pay you. It's a rule of the insurance industry. So, you know, speed was everything to them. So they sent us that list of 63 with just three specific UC things they could they could solve 42 of those 63. Couldn't solve them all, but you could solve most of them. And they immediately, they've been arguing for a year and a half, almost 2 years, about whether to do UC or not. They went out and bought 20,000 Link licenses within a month. That's not everybody in the company. They just put it on all the desks in the claims division, and then they started doing the integration to the software. They had to do some back-end office integration, kind of like you do with call centers, to make this all work. But they got what they wanted. So it's these kinds of, you know, finding an individual place that'll do it. So we talked about the three sources of ROI. I've given you a bunch of case studies. There's tons of them out there. So let's talk a bit about the math of ROI, which will bring us down to the kind of some punchlines about the new business cases. Obviously, ROI is something your chief financial officers love to talk about. And many companies just have policies about it. You know, this is what you must do. I've got to reach this kind of an ROI, or often they call it the internal rate of return, which is actually the math of it. So it's the percentage I would get back over time. Their investors understand it. People talk about these in their analyst calls, you know, quarterly earnings reports. It relates to profit margins and return on assets. You know, the less assets you have, the faster you turn them, it matters. I mean, retail stores, like a grocery store, they only make about 1% profit, but they turn the inventory every month, which looks like 12% return on assets. So it's a multiplication effect. The more cycles, remember about going faster? They just go real fast. And the extreme case is they use consignment product. They don't even buy the product, so their divisor is zero, so they get a really high return on assets. But that's a tangent, sorry. So it relates to those things. ROI expresses itself as a percentage, which is called the internal rate of return. And there's a function in Excel that does this called IRR that'll actually do the math for you. And it's not the same as a payback period. Many people say, well, I got a payback period of 1 year. You know, well, a payback period of 1 year, if you've got a 10% cost of money in your company, is a minus 10% internal rate of return, because you took a year to get your money back. You made zero money, and you lost 10% on the money you used. So it's not a good idea. Payback, don't use payback period. Use internal rate of return. Three major components, and this is what makes it so cool. Return, investment, and time. Time. That's what most people forget. It's not ROI. It's not just return on investment. It's return on investment over time. And this is the actual math, okay? So I've got a return divided by investment to the 1/n power. So that's basically, if it's 3 years, it's 1/3 power. Well, the 1/3 power in Excel, of course, you know, gives you the third root of something, okay? And minus one. So you do the math, you know, with the investment still in it, and then you take the investment out at the end. So here's how it looks. If I've got a return of $10 on an investment of 100, by the way, not 110, 10, and it takes me 2 years to do it, then my return is 10, my investment's 100, I got 2, 1, it's the square root of that number, I'm going to get a minus 69% internal rate of return, right? I spent 100, I only got 10 back. I didn't get my 100 back, I only got 10 back. So, you know, that would be not a good deal. If I tried to optimize this, then there's only three things to do. Make the return higher, or as high as possible, make the investment lower, or as low as possible, or make it go faster. Right? It's kind of like the earlier, you know, go faster, use less, or be different. You know, so it's these kinds of, there's parallels in this from the math. So let's say instead of getting $10 back, I get $300 back on my $100 investment in 2 years. Then I will find I got 300 divided by 100, and I take this the square root of that, and I have a 73% return on investment, right? Or let's say I want to go faster, and I take that same math, I'd have 300 back, my investment's 100, but I can do it in half a year, okay? So now I do the same math, 300 divided by 100 to the 1 over dot 5, and guess what? I have an 800% ROI, internal rate of return. And you can go check it. This is it. Basically, you know, I'm doing it in one quarter of the time, which is it squares every time. So you do the math, that's what'll happen. So speed is really important in this game. And that's why bringing your projects inside your company or you as partners, as you bring the projects down into individual modules, kind of roadmaps for UC, then every module can have a real high ROI. Don't get stuck in these three-year projects. That's why replacing a PBX is the worst thing to do. It's really terrible as an ROI. Now, in order to maximize ROI, you want to increase return, lower investment, or reduce the time, and UC has great ROI potential, and you can make it even better. Well, how would you make it better? Well, you have a new perspective. I'll call it IOR. Instead of return on investment, where you say, oh, I bought this PBX, how do I justify it? I bought Link, how do I justify it? You know, that's not a good idea. The vendors, of course, want to bring you the whole system and say, okay, here's what it would take to put Link in your whole company, and now let's try to justify it. And I got this ROI calculator, they'll find all these different things we can do. Well, you can't do them all at once, so you got a long time in it, time's the enemy. So that's probably not the right way to do it. And you don't want it to be one big multi-year project. So you go to invest on return, where it's based on these specific identified returns. Remember, we talked about specifics before. Organization's list of desired outcomes. What's on the CEO's agenda? What are we trying to do right now? Be more global, be more nimble, be more agile, be more innovative. What is on our agenda, not what's on the vendor's agenda? And an analysis of discrete projects or phases. And every one of those case studies I mentioned, by the way, Global Crossing and Phonavit and so forth, I mean, they were trying to solve a problem in their business, not a technology problem. And so real world examples, if I take what, and I can find data like, this data comes from places like vendors' websites, not just Microsoft's, but many vendors have case studies talking about, I'm going to replace your entire old PBX with a new IP PBX with UC, or I'm going to replace your entire PBX with a Link system with Enterprise Voice. You're probably going to end up with about a 35% ROI, where you spend 100, you know, you can say these are percentages, you know, normalized, but 100 is a base unit, and I'll get an increasing amount over the years as, you know, I get through the learning curves and the adoption curves and so forth. But if I break that system down into its component parts, they're not all equal. So if I take, you know, and by the way, on the left column, it adds up to 100. So if I take that 100 that I spent and split it out, I'm going to find that, you know, if I spend 15 bucks of that 100 on phones, about the only thing I'm likely to get, maybe I'll get a reduction in some add, moves, and changes costs. Maybe. And I'm probably going to have a minus 12% ROI. The big ROI in this chart is I am in presence. Because I'm out changing the business by, you know, using these tools like Global Crossing did, and writing some code on the back end to integrate them into my Remedy help desk system and so forth. So now look at that number, or conferencing. And not conferencing, sure, I can save some money by keeping people off of airplanes, but if I can use it to explore an oil field faster or get a new drug to market or a new product developed or whatever, that's going to be worth a lot of money. And we'll come back to that in a minute. So you see the differences. They're not all, you know, all ROIs are not equal. And if I come down and make this, I go from just raw technology down to solutions. Resource locator would be like Global Crossing, you know, or communication in portals. I put the comm in the portals where people are, or communication in a line of business app. You know, and by the way, don't think this isn't happening. Salesforce.com is actually building really competitive communications technology these days, starting from social. And why are they doing that? Because they're automating the sales job. They're not automating the PBX. They're automating the sales job or the service job. Just watch. They're doing it. Which means, by the way, your customers are being taught how to do this by other people. You want to be the people that teach them. Or if you're the customer, you want to be in, you don't want to be stuck in IT while the sales guy is reinventing the business with a new kind of communications technology called Salesforce.com. Okay? So the new work or a new workflow. Designing a new workflow, by the way, may be one where you say, oh, I'm going to spend more than any of these others, and I'm not going to get returns in year one because it'll take a while to rework my workflow. This was the insurance company case with claims. It was going to take them a while, but the ROI was still going to be really positive over that time. So if I say, well, what if I think about this as a roadmap? I take resource optimization where I take the resource locator costs from the prior chart, and I give IAM and presence to 30% of the company off the prior chart. That's what it would look like. And then I say, I'm going to do collaboration effectiveness, the communications in collaboration plus IAM and conferencing for another 30% of my people. And I'm going to accelerate transaction by putting communication in my line of business apps like SAP and so forth. And I'm going to give IAM and mobility to another 30% of my people. So now I've got 90% of my people on Link. I didn't replace the PBX. I promise I didn't replace the PBX. I got 90% of my people on Link doing very high ROI things. And if I put that into a roadmap like this, where I phase it in 1 year at a time, I do one of those things every year, my bottom line cumulative roadmap is 400% ROI. Right? And you say to me, well, Marty, you're wasting my time. You're going to cause me to change my Link system once every year, and I got to put in my overheads into the business case. It's going to put additional costs because you've broken my roadmap. I don't get to just do it all at once and move on. Well, that's right. So what if I add 50% to the investment cycle of every one of those things? Fine, I'll give you 50% more money to do it. I still have a 287% ROI down there at the corner. So you see how my mind works from being working in a controller's office and that kind of thing? I mean, it's break it down into pieces. Do not try to eat the whole elephant at once, you know? Do this thing in pieces where every piece is making sense to the line of business. Every piece is advancing the business. Every piece is paying for your investment in IT or your investment as a partner. And by the way, these numbers here that we're talking about are not just the numbers. If I were to go back to the prior chart, you know, these numbers in here, like that 80, that's not Link technology. There's professional services in there or internal development staff, whichever, if you've got it. I don't know whether you buy or make your own apps development and integrations. But, you know, plan to spend some money on those. I mean, I'm not saying they should be for free, but when you get all done, it makes sense. And we see this in the case studies, kind of a broad brush view is looking at this from a UCB, the business process idea I mentioned earlier. We've been tracking this for years, and you're getting almost an order of magnitude more than the kind of savings that people talk about in terms of kind of UCU. Just put unified communications on people's desks and they'll figure out how to use it more effectively. Okay? So with that, the roadmap example, phase one, I'm going to enhance sales and services. Phase two, you know, using contact management, deliver mobile information delivery. These are from those that list of seven previously. I might do phase two. I'm going to improve time to market with collaboration acceleration. Then I'm going to optimize operation by comm enabling portals and resource ID. And I end up with, you know, worksheets that look like this, where I start at the top. I'm going to take field sales and service out of a 2,000-person company, typically, let's say as an example. Sales and service capacity gains. I'm going to have cell phone expense savings. And so I might support 200 salespeople and 400 services people out of my 2,000 employees. I'm going to give them a mobility app I'm going to give them a PBX or desk. I'm going to replace their phone typically with a UC solution and add mobility and IM services to be in touch, kind of like Global Crossing did. It's going to take me 2 to 4 servers to do that, a gateway. I might have a half of a DBA to run to install it. I might have a half of a help desk as part of the investment. Actually, those would be ongoing, and that's how it's designed, how the math works. I might have $100,000 in capital for that. I might have $14 per user per month for the rest of the use life cycle. If I do that over 5 years, you know, what I get out of that is 165% ROI. So I've got a very specific project, specific number of servers, specific amount of people, you know, or contractors through a service provider system integrator. I can do the same thing with product development and marketing to bring new products. I might get a real high ROI there. And I might do the same thing with, say, manufacturing orders and logistics. So just keep stacking them up this way, where you look at this top to bottom as a project that's going to complete in 6 months. And you do lots of 6-month projects instead of some of these 3-year replace the PBX jobs. Okay, so if you come to that and say, okay, then what's the future going to look like, Marty? What's the future-oriented justification going to be? And I think it comes in apps and ops. Apps and ops. So the apps category, and I'll go detail on this, are resource locator, comm enabling apps, comm enabling workflows, comm enabling mobile apps. Ops are going to be conference and collaboration social for internal, external supply chain, mobile users and cloud, mobile or hosted, mobile PC client adoption, streamline operations. And you know, I don't know if you plan to come to it, but you can always download the top UC apps. We're going to go into more detail on these Thursday, but you can look at it later if you wanted to download that if you're interested. And so if you look at these, so resource locator, tools to find the resources to maximize skills utilization, you reduce the E to R. E to R is a term that you'll find a lot in justifications. It's called expense to revenue. Expense to revenue. And every chief financial officer will know what you're talking about when you say, what's the E to R in sales? What's the expense to revenue? They'll know the number. It'll be 18.34% or something like that. And you know, if you can say that to them, they'll tell you. Say, well, if I could knock that down by a point or two, and how would you do that? Remember earlier, if I could go from 2 sales cycles a year to 3, I doubled revenue, but I may have only added 25% in more commissions. I got the same number of employees. That will change the expense to revenue ratio by a lot. So, you know, that faster transactions, increased revenue, or better service and loyalty. Comm enabling portals, this is where I put the communications tools in context, and I didn't know Gurdeep was going to talk about context today, but he did, in the context of their work. So they're in a SAP screen, they're in a Salesforce.com screen, they're in a Microsoft Dynamics screen, they're clicking right there, you know, and because you're in the app, you know who they're going to call. You know, you're not dialing phone numbers. New forms of self-service, ways to incorporate best practices, because you build these into the workflows, then the HR people and the line of business executives, they know these processes are being done the right way. That's one of the things call centers taught us, is you can put workflows and swim lanes and so forth in place. And so you'll, again, reduce E to R, you'll shift to better methods, you'll get a better match to the source of the service, you'll maybe even differentiate your company, like we saw in the demo in the main tent today. Optimizing workflows and collaborations, same ideas. Information delivery to the place to replace live communication. JJ Food Service is a good example of that in the UK. They actually tried putting information delivery about to their field delivery guys, and they measured that down to the minute in their company. And they tried doing it with Cisco, making the agents, the field delivery drivers, into call center agents, and they found it was too clunky. So they actually scrapped that project and came back and did it in a fraction of the time on Link. And they did this back in OCSR2 days. But, you know, so that kind of an idea, this information delivery to keep the route drivers delivering on time, getting the best sales response. Comm optimizing mobile apps, I think there's a huge opportunity, and Link has some great APIs to do this. Huge opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to take my business in a certain part of my business, like say claims or sales, and I'm going to take it and atomize it. I'm going to break it down into little apps. So imagine the whole sales process was just 5 apps on my mobile device. Could be. and I break it down to that, and I build the calm right into it, that could be a breakthrough idea. So, you know, that's how the salespeople you're hiring today think anyway, because they're all coming, the millennials. Your sales force is typically younger than your average age of your company, of your employee base, it typically is. So they're out there saying, oh, this is how I want to work, and they're not doing it for me. Well, give them that. You know, let them Skype to their clients through a mobile app. They don't even have to know Skype, and they don't have to buddy up with everybody. You know, it's this kind of an idea. And the same with ops. So conferencing, social, internal, get an interactive workplace environment. You know, additional work methods, you know, speeding it, going in and beyond the organization to speed work, new work delivery and tracking options. Again, you'll reduce the E to R. You can kind of scan through these. You'll have more innovation potential, and you'll have reinvented workflows, mobile users, cloud or hosting, and you know, communications better matched to the user location. See, one of the things the cloud does is it keeps me from dragging that conversation through my firewall. So it may be the hybrid model of the future may be that 40% of my people never come into the office and they're on Office 365, and the 60% who are in the office are on Link on-prem. And I just federate the two. And think of the traffic I don't haul around through my firewall. I redesign my architecture there. So simple connections using available networks, and I move that way. There's some future of work conversations coming, by the way. You see them on some of the blogs out there, the thought leader blogs. But the prediction is that, you know, fewer and fewer people who do work for a company will be employees. Fewer and fewer. Maybe it's already close to 40%, they're saying. They say it could go to 40%. And so, big number. Mobile PC adoption, you know, core UC function every device, great, but you get lower costs, common-enabled apps and so forth. And then streamline organization operation. Now, this one's last, but it may be the most important. As you're thinking about all of this, I encourage you to rethink your organization. Redesign your help desk. Don't let telecom be separate. If telecom's in a separate department from desktop, stop it. Go fix that right away. You know, because you'll save money right away, but you'll also be able to implement these things more effectively. That's a preview of something we'll say in the TCO session later today. So, two approaches, remove delay. So the major cost justifications for UC application ROI are to remove delays to multiply your benefits or to streamline transactions. And if I go back to that math idea that I showed you before, if I get the return per cycle, if I'm trying to remove delays, then the return per cycle, per transaction or per cycle, is the benefits per process or workflow. So that's why call centers could make a lot of money by taking 10 seconds off of every call, because they did a million calls a month. So if you find something in your company, you know, a can of soup, and I can take 1 second of labor out of every can of soup, and I ship a million cans of soup, it adds up. So I want to do that, and so I take the benefits per process times 1 divided by 1 minus the percentage of reduction. So basically, if I reduced it by 10%, that would be 0.9. So I'd have a 1.11 at the top. Would be my multiplier, so that would be my benefit. I get 11% gain on that cycle every time I do it, and I do it a lot. So 25% reduction in a collaborative process, product sales cycles, and so forth. My prior cycle time was 6 months. I get $20 million every time I release a new product, or call it $6 million in margin if I have a 30% gross margin. Then the cycle is I'm going to get $6 million of benefit for every cycle. I'm going to do it 25% faster. That means I'm going to get $2 million per cycle or $4 million per year. So the return on that, making that cycle go faster, would look like that. Or from the prior slide, if I do that, estimated investment to do that might be a UC collaboration platform for 10 engineers, and I mean engineers in the product development house. So I might have $40 per month per engineer. Okay, it's about 5,000. So I've got to develop that platform, and it's going to cost me about $40 per month per engineer. So my cost of running that platform is about 5,000 a year. I have to integrate it into the development or exploration apps, like say, Schlumberger did. That might cost me 250,000 in professional services, and it may take me 6 months to implement it. So now my three-year IRR, if you go back all the way to the previous math, I've got a 235% return on investment. That's the math of it. Or if we do the other one, which is streamlined transactions or collaborations, the savings in labor and costs and so forth per transaction times the number of events that occur in the period. So I replace 5 phone calls, this is the like Global Crossing, with 1 IM skill search and 0.3 phone calls. You know, this is how much I save. If each phone call is 3 minutes of labor, rather, and I have 3,520 tickets a month, my labor is $60 an hour, and an IM search only costs me 1 minute of labor, then this would be the math of that. That's what I would say. And you can refer to that later. I won't try to do it all. And by the way, if it costs me $12,000 a year to provide the platform for those people, and it costs me $250,000 to integrate it, including redoing my directory schema and populating my directory with all the right skills and all that kind of stuff. So put all that in front. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's not nirvana here. Then it took me 6 months, then I got a 69% ROI. So, you know, this is how it works. So with that, lastly, I'll show you a template, and then we can do Q&A. So an easy ROI template, identify the return, determine the investment, do the math. So what type of return is it? I just mentioned 2 of them to you. The last is just simple, something simple, like keeping people off of airplanes, travel savings. So, you know, I look at what type of return I have. I look at the type of investment, both recurring costs and one-time costs, and then I do the math. And if I take this number, return divided by investment, for a 3-year return on investment, if that ratio is 1.25, I'll have a 7% IRR. If that ratio is 2, I'll have a 26%. If it's 10, you know, it's 115%. So you don't have to do algorithmic, you don't have to do exponential math to get this. There's a table. This page is, in my opinion, your guide to ROI. You know, walk in and put that on any line of business manager's desk and say, can you see anything on that list that I could help you do? You know, because I'll make you some money if the answer is yes. So what we've talked about here then is using IOR for link success. If you get application-specific, invest on returns. So you say, I'm going to find the returns, and then I'm going to be specific about that instead of doing system-wide ROI. I'm not trying to justify link to replace my, you know, it cost me, I got 5,000 people in my company, and it's going to cost me, the 5-year total cost of ownership for running that in my business is going to be $68 million, and that's the right number. Then how do I justify $68 million? That's a fool's errand. But if you can break your 5,000 employees down into the usage profiles I mentioned before and say, what could I do for the salespeople this year? What could I do for the service people next year? You'll have the kind of numbers that I showed you before. Search for comm-related applications. In the lines of business, look at ways to go faster, use less, or be different. We'll talk more about apps on Wednesday at 9 a.m. No, actually, that's Thursday at 9 a.m., sorry. And then create modular roadmaps. You know, less risk, shorter time to return, higher IOR or ROI, and you can claim the thought leadership. So if you're the person in your company that's saying, I want to talk to each line of business, it doesn't, they don't bite. You know, go out and talk to these elders. They wake up in the morning thinking how to go faster, use less, or be different. And if you can show up in their office and say, I bet you're thinking about one of those 3 questions in the morning. And I got some new tools. The point, of course, is that UC is new tool. It's not like the phones of yesteryear. It's a new way to do things. So you can say, there's a chance I could help you do what you dream about in the morning. Go faster, use less, or be different. Okay? So with that, I wish you the best of success with ROI and with justifying your business cases, and I'd be happy to take questions. We've got time to do that.